doing two jobs tonight, that's why I was upstairs. So, next job. And the first thing I want to do is I want to read to you a section of John's Gospel. And you'll find it, I don't know what it is in the Pew Bible, I should have looked earlier, but you'll find it in John chapter 6, and we're at verse 25. So it's John chapter 6, verse 25. Anyone found it yet? What page is it on? 1070 in the Pew Bible. Am I very loud? Okay, I'm going to read this to you then, okay? When the people found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds..." Oh, have I repeated that? "On this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, I've read the whole thing because I wanted to hear what God says rather than what I say. But if we could start the slides, please. Jesus talks about bread. I thought it'd be interesting just to look at bread. Did anyone eat bread today? Put your hand up if you ate bread today. Do you eat bread most days? Yes. So bread is something we tend to eat a lot of. See, bread is a staple food. There are certain staple foods that we eat. It's a basic requirement for nourishment that we have staple foods in our diet. You can't actually live on bread. because it's a basic, it's dominant portion of a diet, usually a staple food. It's a high proportion of energy in it. Most people live on a diet based on a small number of staple foods. Staple foods vary from place to place. So it depends where you are in the world. It might be rice, it might be something else. But they're typically inexpensive. They're readily available. They provide carbohydrates, proteins and fats, all the things your body needs to live. Examples are grains like wheat and barley and things like that. Potatoes, yes. Things that grow under the ground. Potatoes can be part of your staple diet. Beans and peas or seeds. Seeds are very good, very, very rich. Eaten as often as every day or even every meal. Some people have to eat it all the time. When I was in Uganda, potato was something you had a lot of. They had a sweet potato they used to make into all sorts of dishes. It always had potato in it. And they can usually be stored for a long period of time without decay. Then that's just bread. That's ordinary bread, the kind of bread we'd eat every day. But Jesus isn't talking about that bread. The people have seen that bread because when he fed the 5,000, that's the bread that he spread around. But this is different. This is very different. Let's see if this is going to work. And it has. In other words, it's a basic requirement for life. That's right. Now, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry. Now, the people who followed Jesus, they followed him round the edge of the lake of Galilee because he got in a boat and he went off. But they have followed him and they've walked several miles. Easily several miles to get to where he is. And already he's sussed that they're looking for more bread. They thought, we'll get another free feed. That's great. He could do that trick with the loaves again. That'd be fantastic. We'll get another feed. And Jesus knows that's what's in their hearts. They're thinking food. But he wants them to have the food that will last forever. He doesn't want to do that again. He wants them to catch what he was really showing them. Jesus describes himself in a number of ways, actually, in the Bible. And actually, in John's Gospel, you'll find Jesus described in lots and lots of different ways. So it's worth looking at John's Gospel. If you ever read any part of the Bible, I don't know how much of the Bible you've read. If you're like me, people over here, when I was 17, I just read the New Testament. I didn't really want to read that Old Testament stuff. It was kind of boring, and it didn't... And I didn't really realize how important it was to the whole picture. But I read a lot of the New Testament, and I loved reading it. And I used to mark my Bible, all the bits that were really good. Oh, that's a great deal. Look what God says there. I really enjoyed reading it. But if you look in John's Gospel, you'll see lots and lots of ways that Jesus describes himself. And look, see, they're all in John's Gospel. Now, they're in the other Gospels too, but it's neat that they're all in John's Gospel, isn't it? Jesus says... He's the light of the world as well, doesn't he? And he says this after he's healed someone who was blind. Now imagine someone in complete darkness, right? They can't see. There is no light in their world. Jesus heals them. And after he heals them, he says, I'm the light of the world. That seems to fit, doesn't it? He talks about shepherding, and he tells them he is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. At the Feast of the Tabernacles, he says he is the water of life. In the beginning of John's Gospel, you'll see it says, you know, the Word was with God, wasn't it? In the beginning was the Word was God, and all the rest. This is Jesus, right at the beginning. So we know there he's the Son of God, that he must be. Later on, we see he's the Son of Man. He's at the marriage feast. He turns the water into wine. He's with people. He's looking after people. He's the Son of Man. He says he's the resurrection and the life. And he says this just after he's raised Lazarus from the dead. So Lazarus comes back to life and he makes the statement. Of course he does. It fits. It's exactly the right time to make that statement. I am the resurrection and the life. He's just raised Lazarus from the dead. And of course, one of my favorites, in John 14:6, he says he's the way, he's the truth, he He is the life. And he also says he's the true vine. We often have something hanging over here that tells us about the vine, don't we? If you remember seeing it in John 15. So throughout John's gospel, you see him describing himself in lots and lots of different ways. And this time, I think particularly because of what's just happened, feeding the 5,000, we're talking about bread. And he says, I am the bread of life. He's just made five loaves feed 5,000 people. And the people are looking for more bread. And he says, no, you don't need more bread. There will be bread. Bread's a staple food. There will be bread everywhere. But what you need is the bread of life. What you need is to connect with my Father. What you need is to understand who it is that I actually am. So if we look on, you know that bread is mentioned over 256 times in the Bible. I bet you didn't know that. I didn't know that till I read it. But it doesn't seem a lot, really, when you think that bread's a common thing. You know, it's every day. But bread's mentioned 256 times in lots of different ways. And some of those ways are actually very interesting. So let's just have a look at them. For example, where did Jesus live when he was a child? Where was he born? Does anybody know? Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? See, this is going to get interesting. Bethlehem means house of bread. I'm not quite sure why. Well, there are a lot of bakeries there. But Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't this fantastic? That the one who is the bread of life is born in the house of bread. Doesn't that fit? Has God got a sense of humor in all of this or something? I think so. But it's fascinating that Bethlehem means the house of bread. Later, I'll take questions. Okay. When the children of Israel were in the desert, God had to feed them. And we've already read a little bit about this in the passage that I read. Yes? We talked about the manna. And the people were saying, you know, Moses fed us in the desert. And Jesus says, no, he didn't. God fed you in the desert. And manna, they called this manna, which used to appear on the ground, and they could go out and collect it because they had nothing to eat in the desert. So God provided for them. He gave them something to sustain them through their lives when they had nothing. Maybe the odd snake he could catch, but there was nothing in the desert, really. But God fed them in the desert. And they were in the desert for a long time. They were out in the wilderness for about 40 years, I seem to remember. And someone once said, you know, it took God a very short time to get the children of Israel out of Egypt with all the plagues and things, and eventually, of course, the last plague, that was it. Pharaoh said, that's enough, because all the firstborn died. You can go. But once God got them out of Egypt, it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of the people, because so much of the culture and so much of what they'd learned and had let soak into them had removed a great deal of their understanding of who they really were. They were God's chosen people. He had called them to a purpose, to be his, to live in a certain way. And a lot of that got lost. So it took God 40 years to iron that out, and probably a generation to move on. So manna is called bread of heaven. In the temple, there are various things they had in the temple. They had the candlesticks, they had the Ark of the Covenant, of course, and the Holy of Holies and all that sort of thing, but they also had showbread in the temple. Now, do you know what that was? It was 12 loaves that were put in the temple, and they stayed in there for a whole week. Each loaf represented one tribe of Israel. It was unleavened bread, right? It had no yeast in it. And because yeast was and leavening was associated with sin, so it was sinless bread, if you like, that was actually put in there. So these 12 loaves were put in there. They were left there all week, and at the end of the week they were replaced with fresh ones. But they would last all week, and the only people allowed to eat them were the priests. Anyway, showbread, and showbread means, and this is really really cool, the bread of the presence. This bread is all about God's presence. It's all about God being present with the people. And the 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes, God saying, I'm with you. I'm in your presence. The Passover feast, of course, was the feast that they had to remember coming out of Egypt. Yes? Do you remember that? God took them out of Egypt. And the last thing they did before the angel of death visited on the last plague, where all the firstborns were killed, was they slaughtered a lamb and they put the blood on the doorposts of their houses. And the angel of death passed over. And so their firstborn children were not killed. But of course the Egyptians didn't do that. And theirs did die. And part of that feast, they eat unleavened bread. To remember that. I think that's it, yes? Bread, of course, is one of the symbols that we have for our communion, isn't it? Yes? Bread. We have bread and wine, and we know why. Because Jesus said to his disciples, you know, this is my body broken for you, this is my blood spilt for you. Do this as you remember me. So we do it, and we do it all the time in church. And this is the reason that we do it. We break this bread. We remember Jesus as being broken. So the bread, again, associated very much with Jesus. And Jesus, when he teaches us a prayer, and he teaches us that very, very special prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the line in that prayer says, give us today our daily bread. Wow. It's in there as well. Now I've always read that, and I've always thought of that as being food to eat. Would you not do the same? Well, give us our daily bread. Give us food to eat, because we're going to need food to eat. What if this is the bread that he spoke about? What if this is the bread which will last forever, which is the bread of eternity? And it's not just the physical stuff. It's the spiritual bread as well. Give us today our daily bread, the bread of life. Give us that bread, because that bread will sustain us through eternity. The physical bread we eat will sustain us till tea time. Yeah, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference. And I think when I read and I recite the Lord's Prayer now, I'll be thinking very, very much about this spiritual bread. When I say, give me today my daily bread. That's what I'll be thinking about. So, there's another one. Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is the story that just precedes where we are now, more or less. And of course, he feeds them with bread and fish. And we know that story. And I just spoke about that, the fact that there were 5 loaves and it fed 5,000 people, which seems absolutely incredible. So, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. It's very interesting, this as well, because the word he uses is the Greek word eimi, which is E-I-M-I, but it's the word that we actually get a word from, and the word we get is ego. You've heard of ego. You say that somebody's got a big ego, you know, and it's usually a derogatory thing you're thinking there, you know, someone's showing off or whatever. But ego actually means to be, right, or to exist eternally. It's your being, or to have timeless being. That's what ego actually means, timeless, to exist eternally, to be. And so when Jesus says this, the Greek word he's using leads us to see that what he's saying is, I am always, forever, the bread of life. Right? Not just I am the bread of life, I am forever the bread of life. So he's actually making a statement that's extremely clear. It's through him that we get this sustenance. It's a spiritual food. It's something that will last forever. It's something that we need every day. And he's the only one that can give it to us. How different our lives will be if we actually eat the bread of life. Things will change. Few people suffer in our country today because they're hungry. They suffer in other countries where there's a shortage of food, but not in this country. But lots of people suffer in this country because they're spiritually hungry. And you don't have to look far to see where those people are. You may even know some of them. But there are lots of people who are really lost souls out there. And they've got all sorts of difficulties. And they've searched in lots and lots of different places to try and find the answer to what they actually need. And some of the things they've found haven't been very helpful. And they've got them into all sorts of problems. They're always spiritually hungry because they haven't found anything really to give them that nourishment that they need. There's always going to be something missing. There's a void deep within them that they're desperately seeking to fill. And Jesus is the one who says, I am the bread of life. I am the one who can fill that huge need that you've got. And you can try other things, but actually I'm the one you need. You see, you were made in God's image. You were made to be like him. You were made to need him. You were made to relate to him. So if none of these things are happening, then you're never going to be happy. It isn't going to work. There's another scripture, and I can't remember where it is, but it says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, God is the source of our sustenance, not just physical bread. We need more than that. And as spiritual beings, and we are spiritual beings, we were created for eternity. Essentially, we're spiritual. We get so hung up in a lot of physical stuff because this is a very physical life we live. We have physical bodies, and we have to live in these for quite a while. They start wearing out, but that's what they do because they weren't designed to last forever. But your spirit was. Your spirit is eternal. And that's why the enemy is desperate for you not to find the right way. He just hopes that you'll die and you'll lose touch with God. You'll have no connection with God at all. But Jesus came so that we would have that way through. We don't have to stand back. We don't have to say, what's going on? Help God. Are you really there? Jesus says, look, here I am. And he's all these things. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's all these things to us. We just need to eat and live. Physically, bread does two things. First of all, it satisfies us by taking away the hunger. That's the first thing it does, right? But the second thing it does is... Sorry, I've lost my place. Secondly, it gives us life in the sense that we eat and live rather than starve and die, right? Because we need to eat and live rather than starve and die. So the first thing it does is satisfies the hunger, and then it keeps us alive. We need to keep eating. You can't just have bread today and then nothing tomorrow. You actually need some food tomorrow. So Jesus, in the same way, metaphorically speaking, he is the spiritual bread. He takes away our spiritual hunger by filling us up, giving us eternal life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, Jesus says in Matthew 5. And that's part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. That's one of the most amazing sermons that Jesus ever gave to a very large crowd of people again. And that's worth reading in Matthew 5. When you see all the things that Jesus lays out there, if you're looking for a way to live your life, read Matthew 5. See all the things that Jesus lays out for us and in all the Beatitudes and all the rest of the stuff that follows that. There's a tremendous amount of material in there. It goes into 6 and 7 as well. It goes right through. It's wonderful to read. Read the Sermon on the Mount. But here Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And just as bread is necessary to eat for our physical existence, our spiritual existence and growth needs spiritual bread or food. How does that happen? How do we find this food for eternity? Well, we have to go seeking after it. It isn't just going to come along. But God has provided so much for us. Our Bibles are the Word of God. In every part of your Bible, there is spiritual food. It's full of it. From cover to cover, it's spiritual food. You dip into it from time to time for a snack, or you sit down for a while and have a meal and read a book. It's spiritual food for you. So Whenever you lift your Bible, spend time reading it and ask God to open your mind to what he's actually saying there. The other things we can do is we can spend time seeking God. Spend time just alone in the quiet. Find a quiet place. Mine's in the conservatory, but find a quiet place where you can sit, there's no noise, and you can just ask God stuff. What about this? I'm worried about this. What will I do about this thing? Or you might just want to say, Father, would you please come close to me? Because I feel like you're far away. And the thing about the closeness of God is it's got nothing to do where God is. It's to do with where you are. Because God doesn't change. And he doesn't move. So if God feels far away, it's got to be our problem, hasn't it? It must be where we're at. We're not at that place where we're tuned in. We're not at that place where we're close to him. So it's us that have to make some changes. It's us that have to say, right, stop. Switch off the telly. Put things down. Say to people, can't come tonight. Let's spend time with God. Let's try and hear his voice for ourselves. Because it's worth doing. It's spiritual food for you. And you will hear his voice. God is so faithful. If you set aside the time and ask him to speak to you, and you lift up your Bible and start to read, he will. He will communicate with you. He's very capable of using any means possible. He even uses the sides of buses, doesn't he, David? He can communicate with you in so, so many ways. Now, I can't remember what's next, but I think it's a very important statement. There's something about Jesus and the way he lived that communicates something to us who seek to follow him. And something that stands out to me is Jesus was not out to get anything. You know, this world today is all about getting stuff and getting it fast. I can't wait. I want it now. Jesus says, the stuff you really need, the stuff you really need, the spiritual food, the spiritual bread, you can have now. You just have to ask for it. All the stuff you don't really need, you can get now if you want. But it won't do you any good. But the stuff you really need, the spiritual food, you can have. Jesus wasn't out to get anything, but to give everything. Is that right? Does that sound like Jesus to you? And Jesus says, you want to follow me? You want to eat this bread? Because one of the things that's going to happen if you eat this bread is you're going to become like me. You won't be out to get anything anymore. But you'll become someone who is out to give everything for his kingdom. And that's what we joined up for. That's the reality. And we can actually have it. We're made in God's image to be like him, to have a relationship with him. In fact, we require it. If we don't have it, there's something wrong. We'll never feel right. It's who we're meant to be, God's kids. It's why Jesus taught the prayer and he started with our Father. He wanted us to understand how important it is to God that we understand we're his kids. God's purpose is to make us like Jesus. That's what God's doing in our lives. He's making us into images, likenesses of Jesus Christ, if we will let him. Because we have to give up the ground for God to do that. We have to make the sacrifice. There is a cost. It's not just free. Salvation is free, but if you want to get there, if you want to keep going, there'll be a cost. And if you make the sacrifice, you will get, you will pay, and you will get what God has for you. And God has a great deal for you. It's so much that it's 100 million times more than the sacrifice you'll have to make. So Jesus wasn't out to get anything, but to give everything. And we're called to follow him, to eat this bread of life, to seek after him. And having eaten this bread of life, to see ourselves change, to become like him. So, I'm going to leave you with three questions. And then I think we're going to take a final song. And here's the first one. And just in your heart, ask these questions. Is Jesus my daily bread? Here's the second one. How hungry am I for this bread? You know, sometimes we're not very hungry for this bread, are we? If we're honest, we're doing quite well on our own, thanks God. We're not terribly hungry for this bread. So how hungry are we for it? And there should be a third one. And then ask yourself this question. What do I need to do? What do I need to change to become someone who makes Jesus my daily bread? So I'll leave those questions with you. And I'll invite Susan to come back with the band. And we're going to take another song. Now, after that song, there is always time for us to pray with people. And if you feel God's spoken to you, not me spoken to you, but you feel God's spoken to you, and you'd just like to engage with God right now, then someone will come and pray with you. And you can just pray to God yourself. And you might just need to put some things before Him. And that's fine. Because this is all about becoming like Jesus and not letting anything get in the way of that. Because there's terrific joy to be found in Jesus Christ. Okay.